that song, Let the Weight of Your Glory Come Down. And it said, I don't seek your hand, I seek your face. And it hit me, the word he spoke from his mouth, which is his face. So in a very real way, every time we study this word, every time we read this word, whether casually or in study, we are seeing his face. We're actually seeking his face because it came from his mouth and it's spoken. Amen? And that's a good thing. And so we want to be in his face. Whenever, how many of you believe this Bible is our instruction manual? Amen? Now, every time when I had little kids, I would say, it didn't come with instruction manuals. You know why I said that? Because I really didn't know how to think in patterns and principles and derive from the word if it didn't black and white say it like, if they take a toy from their sibling, this is what you do. But you learn the patterns and the principles and his ways, and then you begin to see how to apply them into our children's lives. And so this is an instruction manual. And this morning, I got something. I do have some PowerPoints. But if you would turn, click, slide, whatever you do to get to your Bible, if you'd open up to 2 Peter 1, we're going to start. This is not in the PowerPoint. All the rest of the scriptures will be. But I want to show you about this instruction manual. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior Yeshua Messiah, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Elohim and of Yeshua our Master. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us, this is what I want you to get, everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Now let me ask you this. He granted to us his promises. Did he have a New Testament when he was saying this? So what promises is he talking about? Exactly. The Tanakh, the Old Testament as we know it, that's the only word that they had and the life that Yeshua demonstrated through it. So his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. What three types of lust caused the fall in the garden? Right, so for the sake of the recording, we'll say for the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And every bit of that stems back from lust. But guess what he said to us? We are partakers of the divine nature. So we have escaped that corruption. We no longer have to be given to the lust of the world. Now, for this very reason, verse 5, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. That word there is character. And in your moral character, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. What is love? Covenant loyalty. For if these qualities are yours, and not only yours, but are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain that his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in a truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Master Yeshua Messiah has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So that's what we want to do. We want to call some things to mind from the instruction manual. Now, it is a great temptation to me to want to do everything. How many of you have ever heard of the personality test with the four animals? The lion, the beaver, the otter, and the golden retriever. How many of you can guess what Mark tested out as? Otter, golden retriever. See, you have your primary and your secondary. His primary was otter. He's going to have fun while he's feeling sorry for you. And for me, though, and my dad was alive when we took this test, and so for me, I was equal, 35 in one, 36 in the other. I was a beaver. How many know what the beavers do? They're busy, they're diligent, they like things in order, but beavers read instruction manuals. When I got my refrigerator, I read every page of my instruction manual. Mark does not read any page of an instruction manual. Thus, 19 years later, I have this L-shaped desk that did come with two slide-out shelves that are not there to this day because he didn't read the instructions. And so now, after that fight 19 years ago, I now sit with the instruction manual. This is the truth. Please don't start that till I'm in here, please. I'm going to read you because I don't want one screw left over, one washer, unless it's extra. If it came on purpose in case you lose one, I want every screw that's designed to be there. So why am I telling you this? Because I want you to know that we're all wired different ways. But the other one was otter. My secondary was otter. So while I'm reading the instruction manual and we're putting this desk together, I want to have a lot of fun doing it. So today, though this is maybe some minutia of the Torah, I want us to understand that Peter made it very clear to his congregation and to those who came into the faith like his. He wants to remind them what is important and that it takes diligence, it takes self-control, it takes moral character to do that. And so we have to apply these areas. And so some of you already do what we're going to talk about today, and some of you may have to do it, and some of you may never have even heard of it. But it's a process and a journey. So for those who have never heard of it, those who would like to understand more, which is there were several that asked us to teach on this topic, you know, bear with us so we can do that. I just set up like I'm going to be here 25 hours telling you something, but I only have 10 pages of notes, so it shouldn't go too long. So how many of you here, maybe some of you younger ones, not so much, but some of us older ones who used to do the pagan winter holiday, the Christmas that we used to do, how many of you from the old days used to come out of that season in debt and depressed and spending 6 months trying to pay off what we bought? Thank you for being brave to raise your hand, right? So we would come out and Mark and I only had a few together because we married in 1982 and we came out in 1985. So we had a few of those together, and every of those few years that we came out, you know what we'd say every time afterwards? December 25th at 6 p.m., we spent too much money. We are not doing this next year. We are not doing this next year. And he's like, no, we better not do this next year. And then next year, we're saying that repeating, that is one cycle we do not want to repeat. Because things go up higher, you spend more. I bought less stuff, but more expensive toys, right? So we set up ways so we would come out in far more debt than we went in. So what did banks do to help us out? Christmas clubs, right? And not only, you know, we're going to help you out, we're going to automatically deduct it. So it's a sure thing that we have that money at the end, whatever program you set up in there. And they're going to automatically get it. So it's a guarantee that you have self-control and diligence that you have that at the end of the year. And we were happy. You know, at the end of the year, we had it. And while they got our money every month, they're making interest off of it. So we're helping them, really. That's really the whole motivation for it all. So where am I going with this? Did you know that Yahweh has a pattern for biblical provision in his manuscript? In his instruction manual. And if we would understand and learn how he set up his biblical provision for his people, then we would also get we would never, ever come short. Never. I don't believe ever. Because you know why? Because when you're linked to community, if we at some point fall on a hard time, there is somebody else there to pick you up and to carry you. Because that's why he designed it the way he did. So really, nobody should ever go lacking when you're connected to his way. So what we're going to talk about today is the second tithe. Okay, this teaching is not intended to be an exhaustive study. It's our goal just to lay it down a foundation of patterns and principles for Yahweh's economic system in order for the people to be prepared to celebrate him. So let's go back to what we did at Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. We had a theme, but we're going to extend it to the next two verses. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, who's talking to John the Revelator? Because it says in the very first chapter, the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. So Yeshua said to him, "Right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of Elohim." Can you imagine being the person that Yeshua literally comes to, and he tells you all of this? I want you to know, it's been given to you to clothe yourself in fine linen. And it says, and the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Where are the righteous acts of the saints found? Again, did Yochanan the Revelator have a New Testament? No. What the New Testament is showing us is how to live out the truth. But then he comes and he tells you all of this and then he closes it out. "These are true words of Elohim." Like, I wasn't doubting it. Obviously, we might doubt some words of his. Because this is a faith walk. I saw a meme the other day. A meme is like a little sign that has a catchy phrase to it. It said, "Worry is believing that Yahweh won't get it right." And I went like this. I went, "You know, Father," I mean, that hit me hard, like to tears hard, and I don't cry easy. And I said, "You know, I'm not worried that you won't get it right. I'm really worried that I won't get it right." And you know what he said? Literally, that was a sin of the spies, the 10 spies. See, they knew that I could do it. They didn't doubt that I could do it. They doubt that I could do it through them. And so that's when we start worrying and fretting about things. But if we do it like he has shown us to do it, and if we get in here and we believe that he never changes, he will make his way clear. So when he said he invited, what did he say? "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Who's invited? Those who made themselves ready. Now, I want you to interact with me today. So what two feasts do we have that are prophetic portents of the marriage supper of the Lamb? I just gave you the answer. The weekly Shabbat, the Sabbath, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. So here's the beautiful thing about the 7 days of Sukkot, and then you have the last great day. It's its own feast. But the 7 days of Sukkot is a culmination of all the weekly Sabbaths that we've walked together and in gathered. Then when we get to Sukkot, it's a week-long prophetic portent. What is it showing? It's showing you the 7,000-year plan of Yahweh. It's showing you the 7 days of creation. It's everything. As you begin to look in patterns, you will see how that plays out. So that's when it really gives us joy to keep the Sabbath and to keep the festivals, because we know that we are rehearsing the time that we're making ourselves ready to get to be with him. So when my dad was fighting Yahweh, and some of you know this story because you've heard this testimony before, but when he really, really, all of his stuff was shipped to North Carolina, he was going to Bible school. And so the father kept, you know, just pressing on him and pressing on him that he was to start a work. He was to start a work here in Lucedale. Stuff's gone to North Carolina. And this is the word the father gave him. Now, my dad was a New Testament Christian. We are now Old Testament Christians, believers, okay? But he was a New Testament Christian. So when the father, he was a man of prayer, he was a man of prayer. That man prayed so, so much. And I would just love to have a portion of the time he spent in prayer in my own life. And he was in prayer, and these are the words the father gave him. It was from Exodus 25. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, build it according to all that I am going to show you, as a pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. See that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. So now for 31 years, November 3rd was our 31st anniversary, and it started with 13 people in a living room. And for 31 years, the repeatable phrase, and if Yeshua does not return, you will hear it for another 31 years, that we are to build it according to the pattern that he has shown us. And he showed us through the scriptures. And so what is so neat is that what he showed him on there that he was to make a physical replica of on this earth was what was in heaven. Was it intended to stay in heaven? He had to get it to earth. And he first brought it to the wilderness. Then he took it into Jerusalem. So then the commands were when you gather here in Jerusalem. And then before Yeshua ascended in Acts 1, he said what words? Be my witnesses. Yeshua also told his disciples, teaching them all things which I commanded you in Matthew 28. So what is he teaching them? And so what did he say? Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So when we read in the Tanakh something that says when you go to Jerusalem, you're to do this, or when you read in this holy city, did it stay there or did he tear it down and send us out and say, now go be my witnesses? Now, some things we can't do. There's some things we can't do. There's some things we aren't supposed to do, like the animal sacrifices and what have you, because he fulfilled that. He filled it up with meaning. He became that. So now what are we doing? We are taking it to the nations where he scattered us. We are being a light. The Bible says the Torah, the word, teachings and instructions is the light. Yeshua is the light and you are the light. So we as his light, reflective light, are to be taking the truths to the nations. Acts 7:44 says it again. Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he spoke to Moses, directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. The thing I find very interesting, who said this? Do you guys know what was going on in Acts 7? This is Stephen, who had been brought before them, and actually this is right before he was martyred and stoned to death, to which Paul held his clothes. And so Stephen walked them through an entire message before he died. And within that message, which is a long message that he got to speak, was this right here. Directed Moses to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. So that's what we want to do. We want to do things according to the pattern. So we want to touch back on what Mark brought several weeks ago before Sukkot, and that's the principle of the seed. So Mark, he called on you then, Mark Wally. What is that? Pine seed. That is a pine seed. From this pine seed comes a pine tree. From this pine tree comes many, many things. One of the things we've chosen is a power pole, which we get a lot of electricity. Can you see the ongoing implications of what one little seed can do? It gives us electricity to take hot baths, electricity to cook, electricity to have lights, plug in makeup mirrors and, you know, all that good stuff. All right, so, and then it builds houses. It gives us shelter. But within everything we've shown you, it all comes from that seed. So though things grow and become other things, within it is the seed. So remember, it's function over form. Sometimes we may read, well, it says you have to go to Jerusalem, but it says it doesn't stay there. But we got to realize, what was the message he was telling us? What is the function? It's preparation. It's getting us to the feast and all the above. So I want to. We're going to start. I want you to read. So it's function over form. The second tie that we're about to dive into, but I wanted to set up that some of the things you read around it, you may get stuck and think that was for then or for a specific place. But if we're required to keep the feast in all of our dwelling places, then we have to understand there's a function that never ceases to be. So Deuteronomy 12, 6 and 7 says this: there bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you. Now, was that about as clear as mud? So as we keep going along, it's going to become clearer, I believe. So what time are we commanded to rejoice before Yahweh? Where are we commanded to rejoice? At the feast. Specifically, Sukkot is a season of our joy, a time of rejoicing, the Feast of Tabernacles. So the first verse, 6, is saying they're bringing their tithes and their sacrifices that they're going to offer. The second verse is talking about what they're going to do when they're there rejoicing. So let's look at another one. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27 says, you shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim, at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd, your flock, so that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always. So when he names these things, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herd, and your flock, what is it? What would that mean to us today? Our income. When you go to the word produce in Proverbs, that word there, if you go to the Hebrew, is actually the word for income. All he's telling them is in the presence where he chooses, you're to tithe your grain, your new wine. You're to bring these things with you because these are the things you're going to use to rejoice. Let's keep going. Verse 24, if the distance is so great for you that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where Yahweh your Elohim chooses to set his name is too far away from you, when Yahweh your Elohim blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money and bind the money in your hand and go to the place which Yahweh your Elohim chooses. You may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, unless you're at Walkaway, or whatever your heart desires, and there you shall eat in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim and rejoice, you and your household. Also, you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. So we can see that they actually hauled all this stuff unless they were too far, and then they would turn it into money so that they could what? When they get there to the feast, then they buy their stuff and whatever their heart desires, they get what they're going to need for the week to have a good time. The Father set this time up for us to have fun and to worship him and to celebrate all at the same time. There's another verse. There's another set of scriptures. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the festival to Yahweh your Elohim at the place Yahweh will choose. For Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all your harvest, in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Now here's where a lot of people go, verse 16. Three times a year. Remember, we're seeking the face of Yahweh right now, reading his word. Okay, this is his word, and we want to catch what he means by these things. Three times a year, all your men must appear before Yahweh your Elohim at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before Yahweh empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you. So we've heard people say, and in fact, some people that left here said, well, only the men have to go up to the festival. It's like, did you read 13, 14, 15 before you got to 16? Your sons, your daughters, your maidservants, everybody goes up. But it was the men in that day that went up and made the offerings. And that's why the differentiation there for the men is to come up, because they would go up the steps and make their offerings. So that's where the differentiation is. So we see both our family celebrating because of the work of our hands that we have set back for the feast and bringing your offerings. So he's covered it in two sets of scriptures that we've shared. He's covered both returning to him and returning to yourself. And then we go over to Deuteronomy 16, returning to him and returning to yourself. So in case it doesn't seem that clear to me, how do you know that that's what it's for? We have three historical accounts, two from Josephus and one from Tobit. Josephus is a Jewish historian, pretty much Hellenized. And then Tobit was a book written, it's in the Apocrypha, if any of you have the Apocrypha. Tobit was written, they believe it was composed between 225 and 175 before the Maccabean Revolt. But it happened earlier than that, longer ago than that. But that's when they composed the writings. Josephus said, besides those two tithes, which I have already said you are to pay every year, the one for the Levites, the other for the festivals, you are to bring every third year a tithe to be distributed to those that want, to women also that are widows, and to children that are orphans. Josephus goes on, let there be taken out of your fruits a tenth, besides that which you have allotted to give to the priests and the Levites. So he's clearing up any idea that you may wonder, what did he really mean in Deuteronomy 12, Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 16? We're seeing historically, besides that which you have allotted, this you may indeed sell in the country, but it is to be used in those feasts and sacrifices that are to be celebrated in the holy city. For it is fit that you should enjoy those fruits of the earth which Elohim gives you to possess, so as may be to the honor of the donor. So he's saying that Elohim, he's showing the interpretation of these scriptures, that Yahweh is saying, you've returned to me, but I also want you to take for yourself, because I want to honor you at the feast, but you're going to have to prepare. We've got to be ready to do that. Tobit says, I was the only one in my family who regularly went to Jerusalem to celebrate the religious festivals. How many of us can relate to that? Not going to Jerusalem, but the only ones in our family that may be keeping the feast. As the law of Moses commands everyone to do, I would hurry off to Jerusalem with the first part of my harvest, the firstborn of my animals, a tenth of my cattle, and the freshly clipped wool from my sheep. Then I would stand before the altar in the temple and give these offerings to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. I would give a tenth of my grain, wine, oil, olive oil, pomegranates, figs, and other fruits to the Levites who served Elohim in Jerusalem. I would sell a second tenth of my possessions and spend the money in Jerusalem on the festival meal. So does that seem like it clears up to you what the interpretation of those scriptures would mean? Because we're getting historical accounts from people that lived in that time frame. So how many of you have ever gone to a financial advisor or watched a Dave Ramsey series? And what do they tell you to put back for yourself? A tenth of your income. You were in financial. Did you tell people to do that, Keith? Put back a tenth for emergency funds, vacations, whatever. Set a tenth of your income. How many of us did that? Good for you. It's too much of a temptation. Until I saw, I mean, we had savings. We did savings, but never, never a tenth. And when I saw what the scriptures required, then it gave me a lot more motivation because my heart really does want to obey, but my discipline in the natural wasn't there. I want to show you what Yeshua said in 8:28. So Yeshua said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So would Yeshua come and tell us one thing different than what the Torah was? Why? Do you know how many times this concept is in the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament? Many times he said, I do not speak on my own initiative. I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what he tells me to do. But what was it that he was speaking and that he told him to do? The Old Testament that we were told is done away with. It is not done away with. And that's the exciting news. It's everything, and I've shared this with you guys before. When I was in fundamental Christianity, I would hear the preacher say, you need to seek the Lord, you need to seek the Lord, and seek him with your whole heart. And I would be literally on my face. I mean, Brian, can you relate to this as a preacher? Seek, 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 I'm seeking you. But I didn't know, what did that walk look like? I didn't know what it looked like. I mean, I can take care of people and bake pies and do that kind of thing. But I never knew if I was beat. Now, if I visited sick and I visited widows, I knew that was pure and undefiled religion. But in my everyday life, I didn't know if I was right with him or not. I mean, if my TV went snow, I missed the rapture. And I was watching PTL. Because I thought it was live and current at the moment. And I'm not kidding you. I'm like, I've been left behind. I didn't know it was pre-recorded. I really didn't. I was a kid. But I didn't know. But I can tell you, when he brought and removed the veil of the truth of his word, that the whole thing is valid. Once I understood function over form, once I could understand patterns and principles, it came from heaven to earth, to Sinai, to Jerusalem, to the uttermost parts of the earth. When I can understand the function, then I can insert me into it. Before, that's the children of Israel. They had to do that. Look where they lived. Well, they couldn't eat pig because they didn't have refrigeration. Oh, no. It wasn't that it wasn't designed for food. It was about refrigeration. No, it wasn't about refrigeration or not. Because you see how we can export ourselves out of it or import it. Now, if it's Deuteronomy 28, I was all over Deuteronomy 20. I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. His blessings overflow me. Now, once it got to verse 16, I am not reading the curses. Ain't about, I am not cursed. I am not. We're really not cursed. I mean, truly we're not. But when we understand who we are, that we are the seed of Abraham, that's what Galatians says, we are the seed of Abraham if we are in Yeshua Messiah, then all the promises are for us. We will take Deuteronomy 28. But Leviticus 11? Nope. Ain't having that one. Because he declared all food clean. Only that was a parenthetical statement. It was never in the manuscript. That's added by our translators. Because what he designed to eat was never called, what he designed not to eat is never called food. So when we start to say, and why am I bringing these things up? Because every one of these things helps us to accept the other truths. Now, when we get into our pocketbooks, then it's like a whole different, I don't know if he means that. I don't know if he means that. Well, he means it. Why? Because he wants us to get there, and he wants us to get there and have fun. Now listen, when it's your first cycle and you're just coming into the truth, he knows we're not prepared. Or if we've fallen on hard times, he knows we're not prepared. But if we're resisting the truth and not willing to set aside, then it's a different story. I will tell you, I got so many calls this year. It happens every year. Anybody in the fellowship need help getting to Sukkot? As a matter of fact, yes. As a matter of fact, yes. I have so many of you call. Why? It's everyone that's prepared because they have excess. So out of their abundance, they're giving into the lives of others so that they can go and enjoy and have fun without having coming out of it going, I'm in depression and in debt, and I really couldn't afford to take off work, but I did it by faith. You can do it by the same faith that lets you go there and miss all that work. For a lot of our guys don't have paid holidays. Definitely don't have paid feast days. But they don't have paid days off. When you're in the construction world, they don't have that. So they go in there. But if we go prepared according to the way he says to do it, then we can absolutely. So where do we go from here? So now it might seem like I'm meddling. This is the beaver in me, okay? So you guys bear with me, okay? Second tithe use is for the feast. If you do the local community Passover with us, or if you do your own, does it cost money? It costs money to buy the food. You usually have people with you. Regardless, if you do your own at home or you do it as a community, it costs a little bit of money. Second tithe would come out of that. Paying your income for yourself if you have a job that doesn't offer paid days off for the festival days. So if you come in from out of town, you have hotel cost if you stay for the extra feast days. For instance, Passover is at twilight on the 14th of Nisan. 15th of Nisan is the first holy day, so we have a festival. Some people will stay with families until we run out of families, and then some will stay in a hotel. That costs money, but you can pay for that out of your second tithe because it's a festival. The festival offerings you can give out of your second tithe when you prepare. And all things Sukkot. All things Sukkot. So I want to share with you quickly, years ago, how long have the Hostetlers been married? Almost 14 years. When Steve and Hannah first got married and came into this truth, you know, a lot of young people, when they first get married and you're coming out of fundamental Christianity, you know, all we were raised in was debt, right? We had a debt mentality, and we weren't raised to be debt-free living. Now, Steve and Hannah were, praise y'all, because we had come into the truth. We were the ones that came in, you know, like great Americans do. But Steve and Hannah were raised differently than Mark and I were raised. So they had a little bit of a head start. But most people, when they get married in the beginning, do you make a lot of money? Especially when you're in the South, we get married young. And so, not 12, but 18. 22, 18. And that didn't really seem young then, though. You know, we know everything at 18. So anyway, Steve and Hannah got married, and they came into the truth of the second tithe. And I have permission to share this story, by the way. So, you know, some people struggle paying the first tenth. And that one, I absolutely would never miss that one. Don't rob Elohim. But that second tithe, you know, say your tithe is $50 a week, if you make $500 a week. And your tithe is $50 a week, and you got to give another $50 to yourself to, you know, for all the fees. That seems like a lot of money. So that's $200 a month, and then $200 a month to yourself. So Steve and Hannah didn't have it to begin with. In fact, what they did, though, their heart was so eager to want to do something in the right direction, and they prayed and asked the Father, and they committed $5 14 years ago, $5 a week, for their festival fund, for the second tithe. And what it would have been, and that was really, I'll tell you, that came out of their grocery money. Yeah. And so that lasted 2 weeks. Because they were praying and they were diligent and they were committed, this is what we're doing. And they didn't have to have a bank draft it. Because when you realize it's obedience to the Father, it's a lot easier sometimes to have the discipline if you feel like you're being disobedient if you don't. So they committed $5 a week to do that. And in it would have been 50. That's what it would have been in that day. And do you know, in 2 weeks, his boss came in, and Steve, if there's like some juicy points I'm leaving out, please speak up. Because there were some really neat things that happened. But his boss just called him in and said, I want to give you a raise. And it was $50 a week, clear. So it was probably a little more than that. And they knew exactly what it was for. It wasn't for more groceries. It was for their fund. And every bit of it went into that. And then was it 2 weeks later you got another raise? And then he got another raise when he started helping take care of the poor. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? So for those who are new and you're like, this is the weirdest first service I've ever been to. See the patterns and the principles. Because what we see is that Yahweh always has a plan to help us keep the festivals, to help us keep his ways, to help us keep his commandments. He will see to it, if we will submit to it, he will see to it. And he always makes a provision. I knew I was going to get you stirred up.
If I could just insert at this point, one of the things that the Father looks at in his people is he wants to see us committed to doing his will. So it's not always going to be easy when we learn about a commandment to do the commandment. He's going to test and see if it's in our heart to do. So what she isn't saying is it was like $35 or $40 a week. $45 a week was our grocery money at that time. So to take $5 out of that was a significant amount. And we had a house payment. We had two children. We had two children. We had our trailer payment. We were, and so it wasn't, because it was actually after we had moved to Loosedale. And so it wasn't an easy thing. But what the pastor told me, and this stuck with me ever since that, is he wants to see that you're committed. But if you are, then he will move heaven and earth to make it possible for you to keep his commandments. And that's the thing that I've always, that's always come back to me in situations that the commandments are difficult to keep to start with, is am I committed to pushing through this? Because the pain's going to last a little while, but the blessing is for life.
It's very good. So I want to share, we're going to do some practical examples of how we can prepare for the next feast cycle. Approximately 20 weeks left until Passover and approximately 40 weeks left till the first fall feast, Yom Teruah. Because what you want to do is you want to have most of your money, you know, if you start at Yom Teruah, this past Yom Teruah, that, which is what we do, you, by the time you're at the next Yom Teruah, you have a year in of saving back your money. So the first fall feast, if you're not really pretty much well on your way for Sukkot by Yom Teruah, you're probably in full-blown panic between Yom Teruah and Day of Atonement. So we have approximately 4 months left until Passover and approximately 10 months until Sukkot. So some practical examples of how we can prepare for the next feast cycle. And the reason we're doing it on this end is so hopefully people can start making some kind of commitment, whether it's $5, $10, or $30. I just took a round number of 30. If we save $30 a week, we would have 30 times 43, $1,290 by the beginning of the fall feast. If we did $50 a week, we would have 50 times 43 weeks, $2,150. At our Sukkot, our feast, it doesn't really cost that much for us to go. It's $250 for that. So I just did an average cost. Remember, I'm a beaver, so those of you who are otters, you probably are dying by now. But Passover community meal, if you were two adults and two children over 3 years of age, an average, you would be $36. Your Sukkot registration, $250. If all four of you wanted t-shirts, you'd be $40, and you may go, this is crazy, I just go. And when I get there, it's always there. But this is the reality. This is what it really cost to get there. So if you save $2,150 minus $326, just the known cost, it'd be $1,824. So you have your festival offerings, your food, or your meal plan. But remember, you have your grocery money that you would normally have if you live on a budget. You would normally have during those days. So you have that money that you can also put in the pot. Loss of wage, if any, will need to be figured in. So this is just the bare beginning cost. If you did the $30, you would have $964. And I know some of us would probably go, wow, that would be a lot of money to have. And all I needed to do was just put back $30 a week into an envelope to be used at your discretion. So how do we start moving toward the biblical model, at least functioning in a way? And I would say first and foremost, pray. Pray. He always provides for those desiring to be obedient to his ways and commandments and ask him specifically for wisdom to make a way, because he will do it. And I would love to hear some of the testimonies that come from those who weren't doing it, who started. Commit a certain amount each check to get started and watch how the Spirit moves on your behalf as you keep your commitment. Remember when we opened with Peter, we got to have self-control. We have to be diligent. Income tax returns can be set aside for a jump start in preparation, because this can be a daunting thing for, like with Steve and them, $5 was a lot to come out of their money. So this could be a daunting thing. One way to kickstart it could be an income tax return set aside. And figure loss of pay. If you don't have paid days off, I'll just let you know ahead of time, because remember, I'm a beaver. 2017 will have 12 days. That would count the days at Sukkot, plus the holy days that fall during Unleavened Bread, during Shavuot, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and then, Yom Kippur this year doesn't land that way. So you'll have 12 total business days. If you know approximately what you make a week, and you divide that by just your working days, I'm not counting the weekends at Sukkot, I'm just working days, and you get paid weekly, divide your bring home pay by 5, if you're bi-monthly, by 10, and that's how much per day you need to set aside. So you go 12 times 100, I need $1,200 set back. If you're one that do not get paid days off, that's real life. That's what you need in order to go, so that you don't come home or go into it in stress. You know, when we're at Sukkot, we can forget all of our stress and all of our problems. But as soon as we're pulling out of that gate, the fact that we hadn't worked for X number of days hits us, doesn't it? If we have not prepared. Yahweh has biblical provisions for us. If we will just do it, we won't have the stress. So again, all of this is in preparation. Remember what we opened up with, we want to close with. The bride makes herself ready, and he's given to her all that she needs to clothe herself. So he's given us a way. This isn't our way, this is his way, and we have documents that show us exactly how it was done. And so this is a beautiful thing. If we will do that, if we will start somewhere, instead, if we have no preparation, we'll have debt and depression, but with preparation, we'll be rich with shalom. Because truly, when we come out and we know that we have prepared and we can pay ourselves and we have no loss of wages because we prepared ourselves, that is the same, that's a practical thing, a natural thing that we have that lets the bride make herself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, why am I making it practical? Is because we get the spiritual stuff, forgiveness, right? We get the let go of sin, stop committing adultery, clean up your life, walk in moral purity. We get all the spiritual stuff, but we need some practical, we need to understand this Bible is practical, and he made a way, another way, both in the spirit and in the natural, first the natural, then the spiritual, he said, of making ourselves ready. That's why I wanted to open and close with that scripture, that the bride makes herself ready, and one of the ways we do it is that we're able to get to the feast and rejoice because we have prepared. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. As we seek your face, Father, you show us your word. And you show us everything, as Peter said, 2 Peter 1, that pertains to life and godliness, Father. And really, every commandment we keep is a piece of godliness. So I pray, Father, that you would show yourself mighty in the lives of your people. Father, that they would note all the ways that you have provided. Father, we have seen even in the last 6 months the way you have provided for your people to keep your commandments. So even in this realm, Father, let the testimonies come, because your people have had ears to hear what the Spirit is teaching us. And we pray, Father, that your Ruach would give us your wisdom, the seven spirits of Elohim, your wisdom, your counsel, Father, your power, your reverence, as we don't have it, but you do. So we're asking you for that. Father, may River of Life, all the days of our life till you return, be a people that are united in heart and united in purpose to walk out and be living testimonies, living lights, Father, to a world that can only see you in the lives of other people. And we bless you and we thank you for that. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Very good.
One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am Shalom, O Zion.